All right. Are you ready to unlock some serious adulting skills?
I'm ready. Let's do it.
Okay, great. So today we're diving deep into a source called 11 Life Skills That All Adults Should Master.
I love it. Adulting like a boss, right?
Exactly.
But it does make you wonder, do we really need all 11 of these skills?
Yeah, that's a good point. And are some more crucial in today's world than others?
Yeah. That's what we're gonna find out.
Okay, so let's just jump right in.
Sounds good to me.
Okay, first up, first impressions.
Ah, yes, those all important first encounters.
Our source claims they're tough to overcome if they're negative.
That's interesting, but does that always hold true?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, especially in today's world. Like, what about online?
Exactly. Like a bad first impression online, it might not matter as much as, say, one in person.
Right. Like, have you ever had like a weird interaction on social media with someone you've never met in person?
Oh, all the time. It's
Yeah.
a different world out there.
So, are you saying context is key?
I think so, yeah. Platform we're using, how you're presenting ourselves online, it all adds these layers of complexity.
Right. Like, it changes how those first impressions are formed and if they even stick.
Exactly.
Okay, that makes sense. But what about those classic first impression tips we always hear?
Oh, you mean like dressing well or remembering names or, smiling?
Yeah, exactly. Those kinds of things. Are those still make or break, in your opinion?
Well, they can be, but again, it depends. Think about it. You wouldn't show up to a tech startup interview in a suit if everyone else is in jeans, right?
Oh, for sure not. But wouldn't a firm handshake and eye contact still matter, even in a casual setting?
Yeah. It's about adapting those core behaviors to fit the situation. Reading the room, understanding the right signals.
So it sounds like social intelligence is really what we're talking about.
Yeah, exactly. It's more than just rules, it's about being adaptable.
Okay, that makes total sense. So being adaptable is key, especially in today's ever-changing world.
Exactly. It's a skill in itself.
Now, our source also dives into job interview skills, saying they're super important in today's market.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, the competition is so fierce. Think about it.
Yeah.
You're not just competing with people in your city or state anymore. It's a global talent pool.
True. And with remote work, things have definitely changed.
Hugely.
But with all the focus on technical skills these days, are soft skills still important?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, I'd argue they're more important than ever. Employers want people who can not only do the job, but also collaborate, communicate clearly, and adapt to new challenges.
Especially in virtual environments, right?
Yeah, exactly. Those soft skills really become the things that set you apart.
So even if you aren't on the job hunt right now, knowing what employers are looking for can help you in your current workplace.
100%. It helps you understand your colleagues, your boss, and the overall company culture.
It's like having this secret decoder ring for the workplace.
Right. Okay, what's next on our list?
All right, so the next point from our source gets a little philosophical. They say that dealing with discomfort poorly can lead to bad decisions.
Oh, that's an interesting one.
Can you give me an example?
Let's think about overspending. We've probably all done it at some point. We know we should stick to our budget, right?
Yeah.
But then you see that new phone or those shoes you just have to have, and boom, we make a bad decision.
So you're saying that in those moments, our brain is looking for that quick dopamine hit.
Precisely. It's like we're trading our long-term peace of mind for that instant gratification.
And it's not just overspending, right? I mean, think about procrastination. Putting off a tough task feels good now, but then later.
Oh, the stress. It's way worse later. I think our brains are just wired to seek pleasure and avoid pain, but sometimes that can really backfire on us.
So, what's the solution? How do we get better at managing that discomfort?
Well, one technique I like is called cognitive reframing. So instead of viewing discomfort as something to avoid, try to see it as a chance to grow.
Okay, so how do we do that? Like, how do we actually reframe those thoughts?
Well, let's say you're feeling super anxious about giving a presentation. Instead of thinking, oh, I'm gonna mess this up, you can reframe it as, this is my chance to share my ideas and make a difference.
So it's about shifting our perspective, looking at the situation in a new light.
Exactly. And another helpful technique is what's called exposure therapy. Gradually expose yourself to the things that make you uncomfortable, but do it in a safe and controlled environment.
So baby steps. Dipping your toes in the pool instead of diving headfirst.
Precisely. Now, have you ever made a choice? You knew deep down wasn't the best, but it just felt good in the moment.
Oh, all the time. I have a weakness for a good sale, even if I don't need anything.
We've all been there. The key is to start recognizing those patterns, those moments where we're letting discomfort drive our choices. and then try to make choices that are more in line with our long-term goals.
That makes sense. Which leads us nicely to the next skill, making wise decisions. I like that. So our source compares a Twinkie decision, one driven by that instant gratification we were just talking about, with a wise one. What makes a decision wise, in your opinion?
I think it's about looking past the immediate moment and seeing the bigger picture. A wise decision, in my opinion, is one that aligns with your values, your goals, and considers all the possible consequences, both good and bad. And I think it also means gathering information, doing your research, before you just jump in.
So almost like doing a mini research project.
Exactly, like a research project for your life.
That's kind of a cool way to think about it, but realistically, we can't do a deep dive for every single choice we make, right?
No, of course not.
Right.
But even taking a few moments to pause, you know, really think things through before making a big decision, it can make a huge difference.
Hit the pause button on autopilot and really think about it.
Yes, exactly. Now, speaking of being thoughtful, our source really emphasizes the importance of prioritization.
Ah, prioritization. The bane of my existence.
I hear you. So, they suggest asking ourselves this simple question. What are my priorities for today?
That's a good question. But how does just asking that question actually help? I mean, I always feel overwhelmed by my to-do list. It's just this mile-long list of things.
I totally get it. It's like we're constantly bombarded with things to do, demands on our time. Having clear priorities, though, helps you cut through all of that noise and focus your energy where it truly matters.
It's like a filter for your to-do list, only letting those really important things through.
Exactly. It's about making conscious choices with your time. Make sure your actions are aligning with your goals.
That makes sense. But how do we actually prioritize effectively? Is there like a framework or method that can help us figure out what really matters?
There are actually several frameworks that can be really helpful. One that's super popular is called the Eisenhower Matrix.
Okay, I've heard of that one.
Have you?
Yeah. It's where you categorize your tasks by how urgent and how important they are.
Exactly. So you focus on those urgent and important tasks first, the ones that can't wait, and then you can either delegate or defer the less critical ones.
Okay, that's a good reminder. So instead of trying to do everything at once, we focus on the things that will have the most impact.
Right. Another really helpful framework is the Pareto Principle.
Okay, refresh my memory. What is that one again?
It's also known as the 80-20 rule. And it suggests that 80% of your results come from just 20% of your efforts.
Interesting. So we need to figure out what that 20% is.
Right. By identifying and focusing on those high-impact tasks, you can be so much more productive and effective. And less overwhelmed.
Those are some great tips. I'm definitely going to try to incorporate them into my workflow. Okay, so moving on to our next life skill. Our source talks about asking for help, which, to be honest, can be tough for a lot of people.
It's true. It really is a skill that so many people struggle with.
Yeah. Our source uses this funny example of needing heart surgery to highlight when it's really obvious you need help.
Right. But it's not always that clear-cut in everyday life, is it?
Exactly. When do we need to, like, swallow our pride and actually ask for help?
Right. And I think a lot of people have this belief, almost ingrained, that asking for help is a sign of weakness or incompetence.
Yeah, you're right. Like, you should just be able to handle everything on your own.
Exactly. But that's so far from the truth. Everyone needs help sometimes. I mean, think about it. Even the most successful people in the world have mentors, coaches, support systems. They get that they can't do it all alone, and that asking for help can actually help them grow and succeed faster.
So it's not about admitting defeat. It's about using the knowledge and expertise of others to reach your goals.
Exactly. It does take courage, though, I think, to admit you need help, you know, to overcome that voice inside that says you should be able to do it all yourself. But here's the thing. Asking for help, it's not a weakness. It's a strength.
I like that. It shows self-awareness, humility. You're willing to learn and grow.
Yeah, absolutely. And it can really lead to breakthroughs in your life, both personal and professional. Think about it. What's one thing you're struggling with right now? Could asking for help be the key to moving forward in a more positive direction?
That's something for me to ponder, for sure. Now, this next skill from our source, it's a particularly interesting one for me. They suggest that everyone should learn to cook.
Oh, interesting.
They even say that everyone loves a partner who can cook.
Well, there's definitely some truth to that.
Right. But I think there's more to it than just trying to impress a potential significant other.
Oh, absolutely. Cooking is like this fundamental life skill, and it has so many benefits.
Okay, so tell me more. Why is it so important?
Well, for one, it's about taking control of your health. When you cook at home, you know exactly what's going into your food. You're not relying on restaurant menus or processed foods with all those hidden ingredients.
It's like you're taking ownership of your own well-being.
Exactly. And then there's the financial aspect.
Oh, yeah. Cooking at home is so much cheaper than eating out, especially these days.
Right. And it doesn't have to be complicated either. There are tons of simple, healthy recipes you can find.
And then there's that sense of satisfaction, right? Like you created something delicious with your own hands.
Exactly. Cooking can be a way to express yourself, connect with your culture, and even have fun with friends and family.
It's about so much more than just the food itself. So for our listeners who might not have ventured beyond ramen and those microwave dinners, what's one simple dish they could try to get started?
Oh, that's a good question. Well, a stir fry is a great place to start. It's quick, easy. You can customize it with whatever veggies and protein you have on hand.
And it's all in one pan, so less cleanup.
Exactly.
Okay, now get ready for this next one because our source makes a bold claim. They say that a lot of the misery people face in life is connected to money.
Ooh, that's a heavy one.
Right. But is it true?
Unfortunately, it often is. Financial stress can really impact every aspect of our lives. Our relationships, our health, our overall well-being. Think about it. Debt can be this crushing burden.
Yeah, it's like you're carrying around this invisible weight.
Exactly. And when you're constantly worried about money, it's hard to focus on anything else. It can really create tension in your relationships. You might make poor decisions, and it can even impact your physical health.
So what's the solution? How do we break free from that cycle of financial stress?
Well, the good news is that even if you're not a financial expert, just understanding the basics of personal finance can be so empowering. Knowing how to budget, save, avoid debt, it can make a world of difference.
So it's about taking control, making informed choices.
Exactly. There are tons of resources out there too, from budgeting apps to financial literacy workshops. Even small steps like tracking your spending or setting a savings goal can have a big impact in the long run.
Okay, so baby steps, right? It's a journey.
Exactly. Now, our next skill is all about mastering our thoughts. Our source describes the brain as this thought-producing machine, which I think is a pretty accurate metaphor, wouldn't you say?
It really is. Our minds are constantly going, churning out thoughts, some good, some bad. How do we even begin to get control of all that mental chatter?
Well, that's where mindfulness comes in. It's about becoming aware of those thoughts, but not judging them.
Mm-hmm.
And then we can start to choose which ones to focus on.
So it's like we're in charge of our own mental control panel, choosing which thoughts to amplify and which ones to turn down.
Exactly. And mindfulness really is a skill. It takes practice and patience. But with time, you can develop the ability to notice those negative thoughts and challenge them.
So instead of letting our thoughts control us, we learn to control our thoughts.
Yes. And one of the best ways to cultivate mindfulness is through meditation.
Oh, yeah. Meditation. I've heard it can be helpful, but I've always struggled to actually quiet my mind.
Oh, I know. It can be tough. But even just a few minutes a day can make a difference. And there's so many guided meditations online and in apps that can really help you focus and guide you through the process.
Okay, so what if your mind wanders?
Oh, it's going to happen. It's totally normal. Just gently bring your attention back to your breath or the guide's voice.
Okay, I'm willing to give it a try. What about other techniques for taming those thoughts?
Journaling can be really helpful. Try taking a few minutes each day to write down what you're thinking and feeling. It can really help you become more aware of those thought patterns.
I've actually been thinking about starting a journaling practice, but it always seems a bit daunting. Any tips for getting started?
Just keep it simple. You don't need a fancy notebook or a special method. Just grab a pen and paper and start writing.
Okay, so just start. No pressure.
Exactly. And remember, mindfulness is a journey, not a destination. Right?
Okay, I'm feeling inspired. Now, our source lists public speaking as an essential life skill.
Ah, public speaking. The dreaded words.
Right. Do we really need to master that? I mean, not everyone is going to be giving speeches or running for office, right?
That's true. But public speaking is about more than just formal presentations. You know, it's about confidence, clear communication, being able to express yourself in a way that people understand.
Okay, I see your point. So you're saying even if you're not on a stage, these skills are valuable in all areas of life.
Exactly. From personal relationships to the workplace.
Yeah.
And the good news is, just like any skill, it can be learned and improved with practice.
Okay, so how do we go from being terrified of public speaking to, like, actually enjoying it?
Well, one of the best ways to get over that anxiety is to join a group like Toastmasters International.
I've heard of that. They have chapters all over the world, right?
They do. It's a really supportive environment to practice giving speeches. You get feedback from others, and it really helps build your confidence over time.
That sounds awesome. What about people who aren't ready to join a group yet? What are some baby steps they can take?
You can always practice by yourself. Stand in front of a mirror and go through your presentation, or practice with friends. You could even record yourself and then watch it back to see how you can improve.
Those are some great tips. It's like anything else. The more you do it, the more comfortable you become.
Exactly. And remember, it's not about being perfect. It's about connecting with your audience, sharing your ideas authentically.
That makes me feel much better. Okay, now, our final skill for today is one that's often overlooked but is absolutely essential in our crazy busy world. Listening.
Ah, yes, the art of truly listening.
Our source says that most people are terrible listeners. Why is being a good listener so important?
Because it's the foundation for all strong relationships. It's how we truly connect with others. When you really listen to someone, you're not just hearing their words. You're picking up on their body language, their tone of voice, those subtle cues that reveal so much.
Yeah, it's about making them feel heard, seen, and valued.
Exactly. It's like giving someone the gift of your undivided attention, which, let's be honest, is pretty rare these days.
It's true. So how do we become better listeners? What are some things we can do starting today?
One of the most effective techniques is called active listening. It means paying attention to everything, not just the words. Make eye contact, nod, even little verbal cues like uh-huh or I see. These things let the speaker know that you're present and engaged.
So you're not just sitting there quietly, you're showing that you're really listening.
Yeah. It's about showing them that you value what they have to say, that you're really trying to understand their perspective.
It's like you're building this bridge of understanding between you.
I love that. That's exactly what it is. Now, before we go on to the next part, let's just take a moment to reflect on what we've covered so far.
All right. Good idea. So we talked about those first impressions, especially how things have changed in today's digital world, and how being adaptable is key.
We've also talked about the importance of job interview skills in this competitive job market, and how soft skills are more important than ever.
And we explored the challenge of dealing with discomfort, how to reframe those negative thoughts and ultimately make wiser decisions that align with our goals.
We talked about prioritization, those frameworks like the Eisenhower Matrix and the Pareto Principle that can help us get more done without feeling totally overwhelmed.
Right. And we also emphasized the power of asking for help, how it's not a weakness but a strength. And we even talked about the amazing benefits of learning to cook.
So many great insights already.
As you keep listening to this deep dive, think about which skills really resonate with you and how you might start to incorporate them into your own life.
Yes, it's not just about listening. It's about taking action and making positive changes.
You got it.
Remember, this is your journey. You have the power to create the life you want.
Okay, so we covered a lot in that last part, but there's still more to explore.
Oh yeah, we're just getting started.
Our source has a few more life skills for us to dive into. And this next one really resonated with me. You know how our source talks about that thought monster in our heads?
Oh yeah, I love that metaphor.
It describes the brain as this thought-producing machine.
It's true, right? Constantly churning out ideas, worries, doubts, you name it.
Exactly. It's like our brains are running a marathon of thoughts, and sometimes we need to pace ourselves so we don't burn out.
I love that. Like a mental marathon. That's a great way to think about it.
And our source suggests mindfulness can help us manage those thoughts.
Mindfulness. Yeah, we talked about that a bit earlier.
It's about being aware of those thoughts, observing them without judgment, and then choosing which ones we want to focus on.
It's like being a gardener for your mind, you know. You get to choose which thoughts to cultivate, which ones to weed out.
That's a great analogy. So how do we actually cultivate that mindfulness?
Well, one of the most effective ways is through meditation.
Meditation. Everyone talks about it, but I've always struggled with it.
It can be tricky at first, but trust me, even just a few minutes a day can make a huge difference. There are tons of guided meditations available online and in apps, so you don't have to do it alone.
Okay, so what if my mind wanders? Because I know mine will.
Oh, it's totally normal for your mind to wander, especially when you're first starting out. It's like training a puppy, you know? It's going to bark sometimes, but you can teach it to bark less and less. Just gently bring your attention back to your breath or to the voice guiding the meditation.
Okay. I'm willing to give it a try. Consistency is key, right?
Yes, exactly. Just try to meditate for a few minutes each day, even if it's just before bed or first thing in the morning. You'll find that with time, it becomes easier to quiet your mind.
Okay, great tips. And what about other ways to manage those thoughts?
Journaling is another great one. Taking a few minutes to write down what you're thinking and feeling.
I've read that journaling can be helpful. Any tips for someone who's never done it before?
Just start. Don't overthink it. You don't need a special notebook or a specific method. Just grab a pen and paper, or even use the Notes app on your phone if that's easier.
Keep it simple.
Exactly. No pressure. Just let your thoughts flow out onto the paper.
Okay, I'm going to try it. So moving on to our next life skill, our source lists public speaking as something everyone should master.
Ah, yes, public speaking.
To be honest, it's not my favorite thing. Is it really that important?
Well, I understand the apprehension. Believe me, public speaking can be nerve-wracking for a lot of people, but it really is a skill that can empower you.
Okay, how so?
Well, think about it. Even if you're not giving formal presentations, the ability to communicate clearly and confidently is valuable in every area of life.
You're right, from personal relationships to the workplace.
Exactly. Whether you're pitching an idea, advocating for yourself, or just expressing your thoughts and feelings, being able to articulate yourself effectively makes a huge difference.
So it's not just about standing on a stage and giving a speech.
Exactly. It's about communication as a whole. And the good news is that it's a skill you can learn and improve over time, just like anything else.
Okay, so for those of us who break out in a cold sweat at the thought of public speaking, any advice on how to get better?
One of the best things you can do is join a group like Toastmasters International. They're all over the world. It's a really supportive environment where you can practice giving speeches and get feedback from others. And that can really help you build your confidence.
Okay, that sounds pretty cool.
It is. And there are other options too, like taking a public speaking course.
Oh, that's a good idea. I hadn't thought of that.
They offer those online and in person, so you can find one that fits your schedule and your learning style.
Perfect. What about those of us who aren't quite ready to join a group or take a course? What are some things we can do on our own?
You can always practice in front of a mirror or with friends. Even recording yourself, giving a presentation can be really helpful. You can watch it back and see where you can improve.
That's a great tip.
Yeah.
You know, it reminds me of what we were talking about earlier with discomfort. It's about pushing ourselves outside of our comfort zones.
Exactly. Those small steps can make a big difference over time.
All right, so now let's talk about a skill that's super important, especially in our world of constant distractions, listening.
Ah, yes, the art of truly listening.
Our source says that most people are terrible listeners, which is probably true. Why is being a good listener so valuable?
Well, for starters, it's the foundation of all strong relationships. It's how we connect with other people on a deeper level. When you really listen to someone, you're not just hearing their words. You're paying attention to their body language, their tone of voice, all those subtle cues that tell you so much more than words can.
Right. You're making them feel heard, seen, understood.
Exactly. And think about how good it feels when someone really listens to you. It's like they're giving you a gift.
It is a gift, especially these days.
Right. And when we listen well, we build stronger relationships, we have deeper conversations, we avoid misunderstandings, and we can learn so much from other people.
It's like a superpower that can transform your relationships. So how can we become better listeners?
Well, one of the most effective techniques is called active listening. It involves paying close attention to what the other person is saying, both verbally and non-verbally. Make eye contact, nod your head, even small verbal cues like uh-huh or I see, let the other person know you're engaged.
So it's not about just being quiet, it's about actively showing that you're listening.
Exactly. And another important part of active listening is asking clarifying questions.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. Like, instead of just nodding along, you can ask, can you tell me more about that? Or what do you mean by that? It really shows that you're trying to understand.
Yes. Asking clarifying questions is so important. It helps avoid misunderstandings and shows the speaker that you're truly interested in their perspective.
Okay, so those are some great tips. I'm definitely going to try to be more mindful of my listening skills.
Wow.
Now, before we wrap up this part, our source mentions one final skill, continuous learning and growth.
Oh, yes. The journey never really ends, does it?
It's so true. It's easy to think of learning as something we do in school, but it really should be a lifelong pursuit.
Absolutely. It's about being curious, asking questions, seeking out new knowledge and experiences. It's about stepping outside your comfort zone, challenging your assumptions, and being open to new perspectives.
It's like our brains are muscles that need to be exercised to stay strong and healthy.
I love that analogy. And just like with physical exercise, there are countless ways to exercise our minds. Reading books, listening to podcasts, taking courses, attending workshops, traveling, engaging in stimulating conversations. There's so much out there.
So many possibilities. But with so much information available these days, it can be overwhelming to know where to even start.
You're absolutely right. That's why it's important to be intentional about your learning goals. Ask yourself, what are you passionate about? What skills do you want to develop? What knowledge do you need to fill in any gaps?
So it's about having a plan, a roadmap for your learning journey.
Exactly. And remember, learning is a lifelong process. It's not about reaching a destination. It's about embracing the journey and all the growth that comes along the way.
That's a great point. Now, as we wrap up our discussion on these 11 essential life skills, I want to touch on something we mentioned earlier, the idea of personalization.
Yes, that's crucial.
Not all of these skills are going to be equally important to every single person.
Of course not. It depends on your goals, where you are in life, even your personality.
Exactly. It's not about mastering every single skill on this list. It's about figuring out which ones will make the biggest difference for you and then focusing your energy there.
Right. So as you've been listening to us chat, what skills have really stood out to you? Which ones made you think, oh, I need to work on that?
That's a great question for everyone to consider. As we've been talking, I've definitely been thinking about my own strengths and weaknesses.
I think that's the beauty of this kind of exploration. It's not just about acquiring knowledge. It's about applying it to your own life.
Absolutely. And to help you on this journey, we've included a link to the original source material in our show notes so you can dig deeper and start putting these insights into action.
Yes, because knowledge is power, but only if you actually use it.
That's so true. And to keep that momentum going, I have one final question for you to ponder. If you could instantly master just one of these 11 skills, which one would it be and why?
What skill do you think would have the biggest impact on your life right now? What would help you grow or be happier or even more successful? Take some time and really think about that.
Well, we've really explored a lot, haven't we? These 11 life skills, it's been quite a journey.
Yeah, from those first impressions to the power of discomfort to really becoming a master listener.
And hopefully our listeners have picked up some good tips along the way.
I hope so too. You know, it's not about trying to be perfect at all 11 of these things, right?
Right.
It's about finding the ones that speak to you, you know, the ones you connect with, and then figuring out how to make them work for you.
Make them your own.
Exactly.
Now, I want to go back to that question we asked earlier.
Okay.
If you could instantly master just one of these skills, which one would you choose?
Yeah, that's a good one. Think about it. What skill would make the biggest difference in your life right now? What could help you grow or be happier?
Or be more successful, reach your goals.
Right. Maybe it's finally getting over that fear of public speaking.
Or maybe it's about being a more mindful listener, you know, really being present in your relationships.
Yeah. Or maybe it's about finally taking control of your finances or learning to cook healthy, delicious meals.
There are so many possibilities.
There are. And even small changes, little steps in the right direction, they can add up to big changes over time.
It's about progress, not perfection.
Exactly. And to keep that progress going, don't forget, we have a link to the original source material in our show notes. So go check it out if you want to dig a little deeper into these skills and maybe find some extra resources.
Yeah, there's a lot more to explore.
There is. And remember, knowledge is great, but you got to put it into practice. It's time to take what you've learned and really start creating the life you want.
You got this. We believe in you. You can do amazing things.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into Adulting Like a Boss. We hope you got a lot out of it.
We hope you feel inspired.
Yeah.
And remember, life is a journey, right?
It is.
Every day is a chance to learn and grow.
So true.
So keep exploring, keep asking questions, and just keep getting better.
And we'll be here to cheer you on every step of the way. Until next time, keep on diving deep.